thank you for your love over us, God. That's your banner over us. Yes, it is love, but it is also, God, peace. It is that we are chosen. It is that your word over our lives will not fail. And so we just thank you, God, that you will bring it all to come to pass in our lives. You will answer all of your promises and keep all of them to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, guys, I'm so glad to see you. And I just want you to know, as we're starting this, that we choose you, you know? And I can definitely say that with confidence because of who's right in front of me right now. So what I want to say is God sets the lonely in families, like it says in Psalm 68:6. And I think that's a word for us in this time of isolation, a reminder that you have a family that chooses you, right? And I don't want you guys to feel pressure. Maybe I do because I know both of you, but it doesn't have to be this family, but you are chosen for a family. And I want you to know that right here in this place that you are chosen by us, that we choose you and, you know, we are here because we want to. You know, that's why we're here right now. So God sets the lonely in families. And tonight I really want to focus in on that we're chosen by God. And there's a greater story. There's a promise. There's a word that he's writing in our lives. And just like Crystal was sharing, God's word is going to come to pass. Yes. That promise that he made to you, that promise is going to happen. The prophetic word that they spoke over you, even the business word that you received and, you know, kind of being a leader and people listening, you know, to things that you break down and simplify, that's going to come to pass. God's going to make that happen. And he's the one who's going to see to it. You know, we get to have a part in it and partnering with him. But ultimately, he'll see to it sometimes in spite of us. And that's what I want to look at tonight. I want to look at that. Just know that this community needs you. There's only one you on the planet, and we need you here. You know, you've heard that verse, we have the mind of Christ. But I don't have the mind of Christ with just me. If I don't have your perspective added into that, there's only so much of God that I can see. Through your lives, God has chosen to reveal certain characteristics of himself. And I really won't see those just by looking at the Bible. Whoa, is that heresy? It's not enough for me to just look at the Bible. It's not enough for me to even just pray. It's not even enough for me to pray and worship and fast and do all this stuff. I actually need community in my life. And I need what you guys bring because you bring something that I can't. And I can't even find someone similar to you, a brother or someone else who's close enough to fill that role that you can fill. God has a plan for you and he's going to see to it. And there's only one you to do it. So you have been chosen. 1 Peter 2:9, it says, but you are not like that. Basically, you're not like the world. You have been set apart. You are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. And as a result, you can show the goodness of God to others. Amen. For he called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. And so you specifically have been chosen. You, insert your name here, have been chosen by God. Your life might have felt like it's off track in this season, but you have a purpose. And God will not let the word he's spoken over you return to him, come back to him, without accomplishing what he sent it out to do. So Isaiah 55:11, I'm going to read out of the Passion Translation because it's awesome. It says, so also will the word that I speak, that's God speaking, it does not return to me unfulfilled or empty. My word performs my purpose and it fulfills the mission I sent it to accomplish. Good. And the translation you've heard might have been, you know, the word that God speaks from his mouth, it doesn't return to him void. It doesn't return to him empty, but it accomplishes all he sent it out to do, right? And so Brian Simmons is one of my favorite Bible teachers, and he helped open up my mind one day, and he said, hey, what about the word that God's spoken to you that's his promise? What about the word that God's spoken to you that's prophetic word? What about the dreams in your heart? And what about the very word that God spoke that made you into you? Wow. God made the world by speaking, and by extension, his word is what has formed your life. And so there's a word that God has spoken, and he's going to see to it that it accomplishes what he sent it out to do. Now, it might feel like things haven't been coming together in this season, but it does matter what you're doing right now. And it matters most that you're chosen. You are chosen, you specifically. In John 15:16, yeah, I know, Jesus is talking to his disciples. Maybe we think he's not talking to us, but he says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. I appointed you to go bear fruit. It's true for us as well. And I know you've heard the verse that's like, you were bought with a price, so honor God with your body. So clearly, in addition to his disciples, Jesus has also chosen us. But it doesn't stop there. I think God has been writing a story, and one of the things that will keep us humble is understanding our place in that story. I want you to believe that you're chosen. I want you to believe that you're a rock star. But this is not my life. I'm not the captain of my ship, right? It's not like I was having my life story. I'm telling my testimony. God broke into my life and he saved my life. No. It's not that. It's not that God broke into my story. It's not that God changed my destiny. Like I heard from my friend Johnson Doan. Maybe he heard it from Louis Giglio. I don't know. I heard it from Johnson. But like he said, we are a character in God's story. God wrote me into his story. God spoke a word that made me me, and he's going to see to it that that word, my life, accomplishes what he sent it out to do. And what's crazy here is that we get to partner with God, and instead of him having to work in spite of us, we get to work with him, right? But don't mix it up. You're part of God's story, right? There's a storyline of the whole family of God that starts in the Bible, which is the beginning of the world, right? And it continues with us. And we get to be written into that story, spoken by God into that story. But we are part of God's story. It's not like God broke into my life and changed my destiny. Yeah, that happened. But really, I started opening my eyes to the fact that I was in his story.
So good.
I was a character that he wrote into his book. We're characters that God has written. And he chose us to play a specific role inside of that story. Continue to do what you were created to do. I mean, even in human books, right? There's character foils. There's all kinds of stuff, right? Characters serve a purpose. Sometimes they reveal other traits of other characters. They reveal big ideas of the story. And they even reveal things about the author. Sometimes you're like, wow, if you wrote that, maybe your heart's a little dark. You know what I mean? And so I think it's our honor that our own lives are meant to be foils for other people in certain ways, in certain seasons of our life. We might actually be helping to pull out some of their characteristics. In certain seasons of our life, God is using our life for a concept. Hosea, wow. Sometimes it's a hard concept, right? He's trying to make a picture and a point with it. But most of the time and all of the time, God is using your life to reveal his characteristics. Like a story reveals the heart of the author, the characters who are the humans of the earth reveal God's character and his characteristics, his attributes. So it's an honor to be included in the book that God's writing. It's an honor to be chosen to be a part of his storyline, which is the storyline of all humanity. But never forget, God is writing a story. You have been chosen for a purpose, and he's going to see to it. He will see to it that your life accomplishes all that he wrote you to do. It'll help keep us humble, remembering, okay, I'm actually a character in God's story. It's not like, oh, this is my life and Jesus came here for me. It's like, no, I got to finally have my eyes open to that I'm in God's storyline. And I get to be the character foil for this person. I get to be the character foil for God's character, God's goodness, God's generosity to this person in this season. So again, big shout out to Johnson for helping me with that. And there's another great revivalist named Havilah. I think her last name is Cunnington. Maybe it's Cunningham. I kind of forget. Let's go with Cunningham. So she says, this generation is in need of your talents and your burdens and your giftings, right? That's why you were born now. If you've ever wondered, hey, what if there was like a professional hoverboarder that was born in like, you know, zero AD, and they just didn't even know they could be a professional hoverboarder, professional skateboarder? I'm not worried about that because I believe, like Havilah, that your burdens, your talents, your giftings are for this generation and this time because God is writing you in a story that he chose you specifically. So now let me tell you about one of the characters in God's story. I want to tell you about a man that brought about the salvation of an entire group of people. I want to tell you about a man that overcame racism and went to a culture that rejected him, went to a culture that was racist against him, and he bought revival and transformation. And the craziest part about this man, he was full of anger. He was full of disobedience. He was fearful and unsure of himself. He was rebellious against God. And his heart wasn't right. But despite his best efforts, God used him to transform an entire people group and to reveal something about God's character that he had known his whole life, that God is quick to mercy. And in spite of his best efforts, being sinful, rebellious, angry, disobedient, and even unwilling, God used him to transform a whole people. What can God do with someone who's willing? What can God do with someone who's even a little bit half-hearted in their obedience? Let's see that half-hearted obedience in the story of Jonah. So you don't have to turn with me right now, but we're going to open up, start with Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, and he said, "Arise and go to Nineveh, the great city." This is the people group that are of a different ethnicity than Jonah. These are the people that have abused and taken Jonah's people as slaves. These are the people that are living really sexually messed up lives. These are the people that are living in violence and subjugating all the people around them. These are the people that are killing babies. Just because it's in the interest of having fun and convenience for them. They don't want to deal with the children that come from their sexual impurity, right? But Jonah, instead of listening to the voice of the Lord that said, "Arise and go to Nineveh, call out against it." Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish, just someplace, right? And he gets on a boat and he went down to Joppa. He found a ship that was going to Tarshish and he paid the fee. And then he went on his way. So we see here the beginning of Jonah's rebellion. He's trying to run from God and he gets on a ship. There ends up being this really big storm, right? And the sailors don't want to throw Jonah overboard, even though he's telling them to. They feel like they're going to be murderers, but they don't know what else to do. So Jonah literally makes them feel like murderers. They throw him off the boat, and then they ask that God that Jonah serves for repentance. Jonah gets swallowed by a whale. But we see God's providence in this, in the story of Jonah. Imagine Jonah just stuck in the whale for a couple days. He has a chance to think about what he's done. Think about running away from the voice of the Lord. And something really important happens. Jonah decides, it's time. I'm going to make this right. I'm going to repent. And we see in Jonah 2, 7 and 9, he says, "When my life was fading away, I remembered the Lord. Salvation belongs to the Lord." And in the very moment, the actual moment that Jonah repented, God put him back on track for the destiny that he was meant for. And if you really pay attention to the story, you would see that as Jonah was in the belly of the whale, he was getting closer and closer to Nineveh. Despite his best efforts, God was seeing to it that he would accomplish all that God set him out to do. God's word that created Jonah would not return to God empty, but it would accomplish what he was set out to do. So Jonah gets out of the whale. Side note, he's probably bald, like bald everywhere, you know, stomach acid, that type of thing. So like no eyebrows, nothing. It's going to be pretty weird. So Jonah gets out of the whale, probably smells like fish. And we're going to do the story a little bit out of order because I want you guys to see not only is Jonah unwilling, not only is he half-hearted in his obedience, God kind of strong-armed him to get him to Nineveh, right? He was going on a boat the other way, the whale took him to Nineveh. But Jonah is also rebellious and Jonah is also full of anger. He hasn't processed the deep anger and the hurt, especially from racism, in his heart. And he's vindictive against this group of people. So we're going to, spoilers, go quick ahead to the story. Jonah basically, through his actions, these people repent, right? And we see in chapter 4, he's really mad. And I just want to read you the verse that says, he mad. It says, "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. And he prayed to the Lord and said, 'Oh Lord, is this not what I said?'" Wait, we didn't hear this part. "Is this not what I said when I was yet in my own country? That this is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish." This is why he got on the boat. "Because I knew that you were a gracious God and that you were merciful and slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. Therefore, O Lord," it's probably going to be something good, right? "Please take my life from me, for it's better for me to die than to live." Jonah can't even live knowing that the God that he always knew was a God of repentance offered repentance and forgiveness to the unworthy Ninevites. So let's go back to where we were. Jonah's bald, and he's going to Nineveh, right? So let's zoom in and see what Jonah says. I just wanted to give you the spoilers so you saw it's not just that this man's unwilling. He's been hurt by this racism. He's seen these people enslave his people, and he is very angry as well. He hasn't dealt with that darkness inside of his heart. And God can work in and through us even when there's darkness in our heart. It's no excuse for Jonah to live how he was living, but God's going to see to it to accomplish the word that he spoke over Jonah. So let's see what happens. He goes into the city of Nineveh. It says, "Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time." This is Jonah chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "Arise and go to Nineveh, the great city. Call out against it the message that I tell you." So Jonah arose. He went to Nineveh according to what the Lord said. And he began to go into the city. And he said, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." Exclamation point. That's the whole sentence. All he says is, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed in God And they called for a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. They all repented. And look at what Jonah said. Look, I get it, Bible commentators. Maybe Jonah didn't say that word for word. I like to believe in my heart that that's word for word what he said. Yeah, 40 days and y'all going to be destroyed, right? But maybe it was just a summarization or just like a literary, like, you know, this is kind of basically what he said. But whatever he said, we know for sure that he was angry. He was rebellious. He was unwilling. God kind of strong-armed him to go there. And his heart wasn't in it. But when he shared the gospel, essentially, which was just that you're doing wrong stuff, which they already knew with the people of Nineveh, his message, which was focused on vindictive judgment, still brought repentance from the people. Even after hearing an unclear, incomplete, improper, short presentation of the gospel from an unwilling and angry deliverer, they still chose to repent, probably because they were heeding the voice of the Lord. The Holy Spirit himself was the one who worked in their hearts, right? And as I said, you know, it's possible Jonah said more than what's written in the Bible, but he was definitely mad. And I think it's like this for us too. God chooses us as well, just like he chose Jonah, right when we're in the midst of our sin. Jonah was struggling with this anger and this rebellion long before he ever, you know, tried to go on the boat and heard the voice of the Lord, right? He was still in this place of immaturity where he hadn't learned how to deal with his anger. He was still a work of construction, right? But God's Spirit works to keep us on that journey that God is writing us for. Remember, you're chosen by God and written. And that promise that God's spoken over you, those prophetic words you've received, God will see to it that you accomplish all that he's set you out to do. And so if you guys can say it with me really quickly, say, I will accomplish all,
I will accomplish all
that God has set me out to do. So make no mistake, you will accomplish all that God has intended for your life, whether it's in spite of yourself or getting to work with God. Yeah. He is working in and through us to accomplish what he has set our life out to do on this earth. Being characters in the story that he's writing, getting to be in his storyline. And look, I don't want this message to just be fatalistic. Like, you know what I mean? God's going to do it and you have no control over it, right? He's just going to overtake you and his will is going to be done. It is God's desire that you make it past your trauma, that you deal with the anger, that you repent for whatever the vice is for you. It is his will that, you know, we kind of live the abundant life. But I want you to see that he's working through us as a character in his story through it all, in the midst of not having repented yet. And make no mistake, Jonah could have reached Nineveh sooner. Different stuff could have happened. Would those sailors have even heard about the God of the Hebrews and done repentance? It's hard to say, right? God is so quickly able to put things directly back on track. And what was the one thing that changed it? It wasn't the sailors throwing Jonah over. It wasn't the whale eating Jonah. It was Jonah repenting. In the very moment that we repent, God is so willing and able and eager to put us back on track with his will, just like he did for Jonah. As soon as Jonah was willing to say, God, I'm sorry, please break into my life, please help me, that's the moment that God got him back on track. And like we saw, sure, he repented, but he was still mad. He was mad. He was rebellious. He was unwilling, but he made a small decision, one decision. I'm going to repent right here in this moment. And God honored and used and worked through that. So repent quickly. Don't spend a whole 3 days in there like Jonah did, right? Don't focus on God being mad at you or being disappointed in you that by the time I was this age, you know, or this thing that I could have already accomplished it by now. Express your regret in the things that you have done wrong. Repent to God. Bring it to him. And just know that God has set you in a family. There's a family for you here. God chose you and he spoke your life into existence. And he will see to it that you accomplish all that he sets you out to do. And he will work even in our hearts through our own rebellion, through everything. God's goodness is showcased. And never forget that you are a character in God's story. He's writing a storyline for all of humanity, right? The entire family of God spanning all of history. And we get to play a small part because he chose us. And like we talked about, maybe there's ways in which he even works in spite of us to still make the story go. But you can partner with the author who's intended you to reveal things about others, to reveal things about the truth and his word, and to reveal things about himself and his character. Yeah. So don't forget that you're written into God's story and that you have a chance to actually know that you're chosen. Because whether you know it or not, Jonah was chosen. Jonah was called, right? But he can choose to know and believe, God receives my repentance. You know, and Jonah does have a slightly more happy ending where God gets a hold of him and, you know, kind of does some great stuff. But, you know, it just took him some time to process his anger. And God is patient and graceful with us too. You are chosen and God has written your story and you get to partner with him in it. So let's pray. God, we just thank you so much for what you're doing in our lives. We thank you that you chose us. That you chose Susan, you chose Crystal, you chose Morgan, you chose Thomas, you chose David. We thank you, God, that you have written us into your story, the whole storyline of the world, that we get to play a part. We get to carry the baton in the family of God for a time. And so we thank you for it, God, and we thank you that you will give us the strength and work in spite of our weaknesses and partner with us when we come from that place of repentance. Even if we don't have it all together, you'll get us there. Even if it has to be in a whale. In Jesus' name. Amen.